I'm glad it was the cross. That means my work is finished because it was done by him. And so I can look back 2,000 years and know that what he done on the cross was sufficient for me today, 2,000 years later. Matter of fact, the Bible says when he entered into that place not made by hands and presented his own blood as a sacrifice for all sins forever, one time. Sufficient. Amen? Aren't you glad that he is? I'm so glad he didn't leave this stuff to us. Aren't you? I would have made a mess of it. Let's see, I've been saved 40-something years now. I'd have made a mess of it 5 million times, probably at least this week. I'm not sure. But I'm glad that we have a heavenly Father that knows us earthly fathers intimately. He knows our thoughts before we even think them, our heart before we even realize where our heart is. And so I'm thankful today that he has given us an example to go by. Aren't you? I'm glad that I don't have to just try to figure this thing out on myself. I love the scriptures because in them there are every answer to life, whatever it might be. In this book is the, I don't say the secrets, it is the powerful source of success in our children's lives, in our family life, with our wives or mothers that have been the husbands. But I'm so glad that he made a way for us. I want to talk to us a little bit this morning on something that's really neat here. Turn in with you, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Luke. A very familiar story, but we're going to put just a little different twist on it, if you would. Luke chapter 15, we're going to begin reading at verse number 11. And it's sort of a lengthy passage, so just bear with me. It's a beautiful story. I'm sure that you'll enjoy hearing it. Let's stand as we honor God's word as we read from the Holy Scriptures. Verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would have faint have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father's, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am not worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. And they begin to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father have killed the fatted calf, because he have received him safe and sound. And he, the other son, was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandments. And yet thou never givest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which have devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatty calf. And he said unto his son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It is meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that when we were lost and undone, you made yourself known. You began to work in our hearts. You gave us a measure of faith. And you began to work and to reveal yourself to us through so many different avenues. And there was that day, that moment of time, that you made yourself known to us. And by faith, we cried out to you that you're Lord. And at that moment, we became a part of the family of God. But Lord, many of us, just like this young man here, although we have come to you in faith and we believe in faith that Jesus died for our sins, that we might be living in a wasteful land. Lord, I pray this morning as we bring the message that you'd be glorified in whatever is said and done. I pray you'd guard my lips that I wouldn't say one thing that I should not say. But everything that is said would glorify Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, Lord, give me that Holy Ghost boldness that is needed to stand and tell truth for truth. And, Lord, give me the wisdom to understand the things that I need to keep my mouth shut about. But, Lord, I just ask you just now, you meet the needs of every person, whatever that might be. Speak to them in their hearts today. Do only the work that you are able to do. For we only can share, we can show, Lord, we can carry the word to their ears, but it is you that brings it to the heart and opens their eyes that they might see. Have your way this morning, Lord. In all that you do, we're going to glorify you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I tell you, you can be seated. I like Father's Day. I got me some new boots. So I like them. And all those presents come in last night, I was just thrilled with it. Our son sent us something that I told him looked like work to me. So we got to get that thing put together because he wants Pops to work. I want us to think this morning about something. In this story I just read, we all focus on one person. Most of the time. And very little attention is given to the one that I want to talk about. The person that we normally focus on is the son that went off astray. Now, I want you to understand that is so easy to do. Doing the very best we can do, and you've heard me say this 1,000 times, doing the very best we can do, we're still fall short of the glory of God. When we've done our very best, we fall short. So I guarantee you right now, if we were all to be measured by our own self-worth towards heaven, we'd all still be found lacking. And here's this young man here. It's really a great story. He chooses, for some reason, to just go against everything he had been taught. Anybody ever had a child like that? Anybody yourself ever been like that? That no matter what you had been taught, and it could have been perfectly taught well, and we go off, just like this son did, wayward from the truth that we've been given. Probably every one of us can say that. I remember when I got saved, man, I was just on fire for the Lord. And as I went along over the next couple, 3 years, everything just seemed to be wonderful. And then all of a sudden, I began to realize what I was. And, you know, it began to present some issues for me. And at that moment, I mean, I could have literally gone off the deep end, and I did at least run to the edge of the ravine. But that's where we can get. In the very best teaching that we can have, it is still an individual's responsibility before God. Now, see, I know we'd say with us, well, you know, I want my child to do this, or I want my child to be that, and all those kind of things. But the truth is, as much as we desire for them to be like God, they're still going to be their self. Still going to be their self. This son took his father's wealth. Said, "Daddy, what can you give me?" Now, I know when our children grew up, I wanted them to have the very best of everything. I wanted them to have a good education. I wanted them to have a good job. I wanted them to be able to make a living and do well in life. And so sometimes you have to make some adjustments in that stuff, because the paths they walk is not always the path that you want them to walk. And I remember my son saying, "Daddy, when I graduate," there was more of us there that night, LC, whenever he graduated. He said, "I just want you to know, when I graduate, I'm not coming back to Jacksonville." I said, "Why?" "There's nothing here for me," he said. And I thought to myself, man, I have hovered that child. I have been over him. I've tried to love him and lead him this way and that way. Now he is a grown big man, and what do I do with this right here? Because he's leaving. My influence that I can have on him, I'm not going to see him all the time now. And so what do I do with that? And I prayed about that. Lord, what do I do at this place in life? But I can't have the influence on my son that I have had these years, because he was hundreds of miles away. And the Lord just began to talk to me. Now, I didn't hear a voice that sounded like a bullhorn, just a still small voice that caught my attention and put in my mind things that I believe was from the Lord. And he said, "You understand this. I am the sovereign Lord of creation. Everything you see, I've made. You, I called. Every person," now this is what I thought, "every person that I have created," speaking of God, "every person that I have created, they are responsible to me. Their moral agency is me. So therefore, you just worry about nothing with them. You lay them in my hands, because they're mine." Now, that's what I thought. Because I tell you what, you guys know me and my children. I love my children. We have hovered them like a osprey and standing still. You know what I mean? We've just been right there making sure they go this direction. Don't want nothing to happen. Don't want them to make the wrong decisions. I'm thankful now, and they're, of course, I'd say their ages now. My daughter would kill me probably if I said that. But whatever the case, I am thankful. You know what happened after I done that? Because I would worry, oh my gracious. I remember standing whenever he said, I'm going to Atlanta. And I remember how it broke my heart. Anybody ever been there? But I remember when God gave me that word, "You let me handle them." And I just said, "All right, God, I know they're yours." And I understand this. I cannot win one person to the Lord. Neither can you. You can be an instrument in God's hands. And believe me, we need to be. But if somebody we're talking with and sharing with, if they come to Jesus, it's not because we have called them. It's because he has called them. And when we understand that process, it don't matter to us anymore. I know God's in control and he can do whatever he desires to do. This son right here was loved deeply by his father. I mean, his father loved him. He cared about what kind of life he would have, like all of us do. But just like many children these days, they know what's best, and a lot of stuff they do know. I think children are born today that 1 month old can better operate a computer than I can. I think that's in their DNA nowadays. It's bad when you take your telephone. Oh, my gracious, I got mine in my pocket here. When you take your telephone and give it to your four-year-old grandchild and say, fix this thing for me, it's not working. You know you're in trouble then, aren't you? Well, it's in their DNA. But there's something as well that our children are going to be children and our adult children are going to be adult as well. So, here this guy is. His father loves him deeply, but there is something that happens in that house. Rebellion takes place. I was a rebellious child myself. I was wayward, although I had been taught the Word of God. And I went through a long process in my life that, man, I tell you what, if I could do it all over again, believe me, it would be different now. So I know what I'm talking about when I say this. Rebellion can come in the best of homes. Because I can remember coming home at times and hearing my mom and daddy praying. Do something with that boy. He's lost his mind. Do something with him. Get his attention. Do something. But here this child is. He goes to his father. And his father, listen, his father's making good for him. Just like many of us want our children to do it, well, this father was doing good. And like most things that happen in this culture here that we're talking of, it happened at the father's death. Whatever the father had for him did not come until he had passed away. And then those things he had worked and put away and had developed for his children, then that was given to them. So for him to come to his dad, who loved him with all of his heart, for him to come to his dad, he showed a lot of disrespect. A lot of disrespect. Matter of fact, the culture that he was in itself, he was defying his own culture. He was stepping out of line, asking for something that he should not have at this point in life. But see, his issue was simple. It was sin. Just like all of us, this son right here took what the father gave him that he shouldn't even have at this point, and it was something that would enrich his life if he would just handle it the way it should be handled. But he didn't. The Bible says that he went out into a far country. You ever been in a far country before? Let me tell you something. The devil will carry you to a far place, and it'll be further than you ever dreamed you would go. And it will be harder on you than you ever thought it could possibly be. And it will be further to get back home than you ever have traveled before in your life. Because sin has a way of carrying us far away from God. So this son, he gets all of this. Man, he should have been at this point, well, he shouldn't even have it because he's been disrespectful. Because did he really love his dad? His heart was not in tune with his dad. His mind was not in tune with his dad. He was in tune with himself. And I can tell you this. It hurt the father. Just like us. When we who know him, whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who has been called and sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, let me tell you something. When we walk away from what God has for us, it breaks his heart. And all he wants us to do is to love him the way he loves us. And if we did love him the way that he loves us, we would never go far from him. We were grazed right around his feet if we loved him like he loves us. But this son, off he goes. Every single thing he wasted. Now, notice what it says. What's funny to me, he was so hungry, it says he would eat what he was feeding the hogs. Now, I don't know about all that stuff. My daddy had hogs. We had hogs growing up. And I know what a slop bucket smelled like. Anybody ever had a slop bucket before? Huh? Nobody? No, oh, somebody does. Yeah, a few of us. It don't smell like, it's terrible. It smells rotten. Them hogs love it, though. See, when we're in sin, we love something that stinks, don't we? So here he comes, and he spends every single thing that he's got. His brother said it was with harlots. I don't know how he knew. But he spent everything. And notice this. He goes away. He's partying. He's got his friends. He's got everybody around him. Man, he's got it made. He's got life made. And here, all of a sudden, he runs out of everything. And his friends forsake him. It says there wasn't a single person that would give him anything. So here this son is, had everything that a person possibly could need. But yet he begins to rebel against his dad. And in love and concern, I believe his dad said, okay, I'm going to give this to you. When we give, when we pour our lives out to whether it's our children or whether it's someone else or whether it's ministry or whatever it might be, when we pour our lives out, I can tell you there's times when you will get hurt. When you just put everything into it, it's like this. And I've never experienced this, thank God. It could be like what I would think would happen if my wife had an affair. It would destroy my heart. I'm thankful to God that I've got a loving wife, that I've never had to even worry about something like that. So what I'm saying is when you put all that you have into something and it turns against you, and it does not work the way you think it's going to work, and you have exhausted yourself, and something happens, it will destroy you if you're not careful. So we've got to remember where this source of strength comes from. This son, he remembered something here. He had wasted everything, didn't have anything left. He was eating with the hogs. And then he remembered, oh, my father has some hired servants that they eat and they got more than what they can eat. They got food to spare. And so he decides, I like this part right here. He decided it's time to make his plan. I like this. He said, it was already rehearsed. I wonder how many times between when he started back to the father's house, I wonder how many times he had spoke those things over and over, and Father, you know, Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. Let me do this better. Let me get this and just try to exercise on that thing. And what is funny to me? Well, it's not funny because I know we have a God who loves us, and he's willing to restore us. We have a God that is a God that restores those that are hurting, those that are in pain. We have a God who so loves us that he has poured everything possible into our lives, and his name was Jesus the Christ. And because he loves us the way he loves us, he poured himself in. And I can just imagine right now, for those who do not follow him, for those whom he's died for, I know it breaks his heart when by faith they don't believe. When the gospel is presented and they think it's foolish. And we live in a time today, guys, where the gospel is becoming more foolish every day. We are proclaiming something that America has turned their back on. But we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful to do what God's called us to do, and that is to love and to share, because He will restore us when it comes that time. Have you ever been to that place? There's been times in my life that I would be so broken, literally. All I could do was cry. Anybody ever been like that? You know I need to go to God, but I don't even know what to say. When I get there, my heart is broke. I just don't know what to do. And you think, how can He help me? I don't even know what to say to Him. And you find your place. And you get on your face before Him. And not even utter a word. And the Holy Spirit begins to intercede. He begins to work. You don't know how to pray. He knows exactly what you need. And He carries the petition before God. We have a wonderful, loving Father who wants to restore us right now. He wants to heal our nation. He wants to heal the church. Because that's what needs healing first is the church. Those who claim the name of Jesus. That's where it needs to start. Right here in the household of God. And it can start with you. It's got to start somewhere. It can start with you. I can remember those times laying on my face. I'm thankful. I had some pastor brothers who would come with me at times and pray with me. And all I could do, I could hear them praying before God and just crying their hearts out. And I'd be there bubbling with tears. Couldn't say nothing. Didn't know what to say. And God began to restore. He began to minister to me. And He began to take that hurt and begin to heal it. And cover it over with His grace and His mercy. And forgiveness would come. And I would be, I'm telling you, there's nothing like that. I almost believe I'd rather come to Him when I didn't know what to say than when I thought that I did know what to say. Because most of the time when we think we know what to say, we don't really know what to say. But we have a God who wants to restore us. Now listen. Restoration is not a work. It's a gift. God gives us the gift of restoration. Because unless He does the work that gets done is not a permanent work. I'm glad that whatever He does, I can depend on it lasting, because He never does anything part way. Everything He does is complete and full. So whenever He comes, I like this right here. There that son is, probably practicing what I'm going to say. And you notice what the Bible said? The Bible said when he was still a long ways off. Do you know what that makes me think? That every day, that father would leave the house, and he'd walk down that old dirt road for miles. And looking. Where's my son? And look. But I don't say how long it took. But what I see here is a father that is searching. A father who cares. A father who is willing to walk away from everything else so that he might find that son that's gone astray. Jesus said it this way. It's a sheep. And he would leave the 99 and go till he finds that one sheep to bring back to the fold. That father was looking. He was a caring, concerned father. And he was willing to do whatever he had to do. And his dream was that his son would finally come to some sense about himself and listen to what he had been taught and return. Every day. There he was, looking. Can you imagine that son that day? Here he comes. He's thinking, oh, my dad's going to be so mad. There's no way in the world he's ever going to forgive me this. He probably won't even hardly let me on the porch. So here he comes. Still a long ways off. He's probably looking at at the sun saying, well, you know, I've been walking so long. And still got a long ways to go. And all of a sudden, there his dad was. And I can almost hear that father say, son, is that you? It's my son, and he's coming home. And I can see it. He runs as hard as he can run to that son. Can you just imagine that old robe? He had to grab that thing, pulled it up so he could run, so it wouldn't bind him. And I don't know what the child's name was, but I guarantee you every step he took, his name was shouted. That's our God. God has showed us in his word a man. People don't normally notice him all that much. But he was a man who believed that. And I can just imagine he probably had a lot of nights of prayer. And in the morning go out to the porch and look. Where is he at? So here comes the son. And that faithful father is running to him. And the son said, Father, I'm not worthy to even be a servant. I'm not worthy to be your son. Just hire me and let me work for the day. Believe it or not. You hire me and let me work for you. His dad didn't even respond to that. Did you realize that? The dad did not even respond to that. What did he do? He went right straight for restoration. See, the son was just saying, just hire me. You ain't got to forgive me. That's not what's important right now. You just let me be a servant. And the father said, no way. In his heart. There's no way. No, I am not going to let you be a servant. You are a son. Bring the very best robe that you can find. That's what God's done for us. He's given us the very best robe that we could possibly have to restore us in the relationship with him. See, this restoration comes by faith. And he's given us every single thing that we need to be restored. And that son, I can just imagine how he felt when his dad said, oh, no, you're going to be restored. We're going to get you where you need. So what does he do? He nurtures him. First of all, he encourages him. Dads, we should be the best encouragers that our children have. We should never speak anything negative to them. We should always say, when you do this and when you do that. I had a friend tell me one time when my children were little. And he said, Damon, buddy, whatever you do, you raise your children where other people will like them. I thought that was crazy. What kind of statement is that? He said, because it don't matter how bad they are, you're going to love them. But you raise them where other people. See, the father himself loved that son so much. He had done everything that was possible for him to bring that son back into his house. So he says, bring the best robe, put a ring on his hand, put some shoes on his feet, and bring in a fatty calf. We're going to throw down tonight. It's party time. Every time someone comes to the Lord, there's a throwdown in heaven. Did you know that? They get so stirred up in heaven because one has believed and come to the cross, come to the Christ, come to the Savior, and they're excited. This morning, God will bless us if we will go to him. There's so much stuff that we need to do as believers. We need to love as Christ loves. Love as Christ loves. You notice I didn't say loved. I said loves. You know why? Because he loves us with an everlasting and an unchanging love. It don't matter how good we are, he loves us. Don't matter how bad we are, he loves us. He's an all-loving God. And he wants right now to restore us and bring us back in that relationship with him that it should have been at the very beginning when he created Adam. And he wants to bring all that stuff back, and he wants to put a robe on us and a ring on our finger and shoes on our feet. He wants to throw a party and have a good time, rejoicing. We don't do a whole lot of that, do we? The Bible said there was music and dancing until they weren't Baptists. They weren't Baptists, they wouldn't have been dancing. My granddad used to say, hey, a praying knee and a dancing foot don't grow on the same leg. They were excited. And they were having fun. I can just imagine how fun it would be if my son or my daughter was away or my grandchildren was away somewhere else and I had not seen them in a long time, had not had any kind of relationship with them in a long time, and they come home. I can tell you, there'd be a party. I would be excited. And that father was, because his prodigal son had come home. But here was another issue. That son has gone out, everything that possibly, I'll call it spiritual, everything spiritual that would benefit his life, he had squandered. And his tank was on empty. He had nothing to give. Matter of fact, he felt completely defeated. So he goes back, and he gets drawn in that party. But there was another son. That son, too, was prodigal. When you think about it, there he was, although he never left the father's house. Although he never appeared to be disobedient to the father, he'd done whatever the father said. He said, I've kept your commandments. Whatever you said, I've done that. And here you have drugged that boy in the house that has run after harlots, discredited you, made a mockery of you, and you bring him in. Listen, sometimes that happens in a church. I remember, it's been many years ago, I was at a church up in the middle part of the state, and their youth was going to camp. And a little boy, he come, he looked like he was probably about 10 or 11, and his hair was touching his collar. And I remember the leader walked out there and said, hey, you might as well go back home. You're not going to camp looking like that. I thought to myself, how terrible that is. To tell that child that, I mean, break that child right now, that's terrible. I had someone tell me one time, I'm never going back to that church because the only thing I had to wear was a pair of pants. And I put on the very best pair of pants I had, and I went into that church, and they asked me to leave because you weren't supposed to wear pants to church. And I'm thinking to myself, what's wrong with people? What's wrong with people? Let me tell you what. All of us are sinners. I can remember when we started right here. Sometimes you needed a blindfold just about it to stand up here and preach. Because we were dealing with some folks that had never even been to church ever. We had a lady live right over here, would come to the door often and spoke to us, talked to us. We had good conversation together and would not set a foot in the church. You know what she said? I've never been in church and I'm never stepping in the church. for whatever reasons. See, we can take what the Father gives us spiritually. We can use it for His glory. Or we can squander it on ourselves and drive more than ourselves away from God. As God's people, we have to love one another. You know what I wish right now? That every man and woman in America today, right now, will love like Jesus loves. I believe it would solve every issue that we have. I am thankful that God loves me. When He died on that cross, I don't believe He looked nothing like me. I just believe, well, I know He didn't look nothing like me because the Bible said He was so beaten, He didn't even resemble a man. But a lot of things that needs to be understood is that no single person is better in God's kingdom than another. We are all one blood. And that's, listen to me. This son stayed in the Father's house. He was in church. I say church. I'll use that. He was in church. And he got mad because someone that had gone away had been restored. And he was angry. Well, you didn't do this for me. You didn't do that for me. And the Father said, hey, didn't have to do that. Because everything that's mine is yours. All you had to do is stay right where you're at and enjoy the good pleasures of the Father's house. We sung that song, I've Got a Mansion, just over the hillside, over the hilltop. Well, guess what? We've all got a mansion there. And it's not a little cottage in the corner of Glory Land. It is a beautiful place in the Father's house. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be 400 miles from my next neighbor and me living by myself. I want to be in the crowd. I want to be in the Father's house. I want to be where I can see Him. I want to be where I can fellowship with Him. I want to be exactly where I should be, and that's the way it is now. We need to be right where God wants us. Fathers, we have something that we really need to do. We do need to, as this guy did, he nurtured his children. He accepted him for what he was. So many times we try to change our children and try to make them out something that they're not. I have a close friend who played 9 years professional baseball, played with the A's. Great batting average. I mean, I've got his card, his all that kind of stuff. And I remember he told me one time. He's talking about his son because his son was a good ball player too. I said, has he ever tried out for the big leagues? He said he wouldn't make it. He said, if you saw him play, you'd say, oh, that guy's professional. But he said, there's something about those guys that are professional. They have a God-given gift that the average person don't have. He said, and those, that gifts that God's given them is for them. And you can't make somebody what God ain't created them to be. You know? I tell everybody this. They'll come to me and say, how do you know that God's calling you to preach? Well, you'll know. How do you know? Well, what do I do? Well, you just, anything else other than that. Whatever you can do other than that, do it. And they say, what? Are you crazy? I say, no. Because if it's God's calling, You'll know it, and nothing will change your mind. I had somebody ask me, well, what would you do if they wouldn't let you preach? I said, I'd preach. They won't let me preach, I'll just preach. What if they don't let you pastor? Well, I'll just preach. See, because God's call, and every one of us in here's got it. If you're born of God, you've got something God's give you. And nobody can make you different than what God's made you. But what we can do, we can come together as one body, as one family, and the foot can be the foot, and the ear can be the ear, and the eyes can be the eyes, the hands can be the hands. We can be the body of Christ, each one of us doing whatever it is that God's granted us that gift in. And probably it won't be what you like best. Because I can tell you, I was not ever going to be a preacher. Never. That was something I wouldn't be. But most of the time when God calls you to something, he's going to get the glory out of it anyway. So he's going to give you something that don't normally fit you, but all of a sudden it becomes like a good hat. It fits perfect because that's what God's called you to. And whenever that happens, you'll be satisfied wherever it's at. This son in the father's house still got mad. He was angry. He wasn't living up to what the potential was for him to do. So that's the way church folks are. Fathers, we need to show our children how to be faithful to God, how to be faithful to our families, how to be faithful to his church, how to be faithful to the ministry that he's given us. Fathers have a huge responsibility. Because we will stand before God as spiritual leaders of our house, and we will give an account of how we led our family. I'm thankful that I got a wife that knows how to pray, knows how to read the Bible, knows how to study, a loving person, caring person. I'm glad that I got a wife like that. Because sometimes she has to give the old kick to me every now and then to get me straightened out. We can be in the Father's house and still find ourselves falling short. So let's look at our children. This father demonstrated his love by saying, son, here's your pair of shoes. Here's your nice ring. Here's a nice robe. Here's a fatty calf. Somebody crank up the music because we're fixing to celebrate. See, we need to support our children. We need to love our children. We need to set an example for our children. Listen, I cannot, if I am not faithful, how in the world can I demonstrate what it means to be faithful to my son and now my grandson? If I'm not faithful myself, if my grandchildren see me doing something different around them that I do at church, let me tell you, that speaks such volumes to them, and it's negative volumes. We have to be faithful. Teach our children how to be faithful. Teach our children what it means to be loved. Teach our children what it means to have provisions. Teach your children this, if nothing else. Jesus loves them and died for their sins. Teach our children there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end there is destruction. But there's a way to life. There's a way of freedom. There's a way of hope. And his name is Jesus. This morning, how are you with the Father? And the ladies too. Now on the earthly fathers, you guys, I'll just give you some ideas on some things that we got to do as earthly fathers. But I'm talking about you. The ladies as well. How is your relationship with the Father? Would you say that you're wayward? Would you say that you had gone out in that far country? That you've not been as faithful as you used to be at one time? You've not been as committed? Well, today's a good time to settle that. And get our heart, our mind, and our hope on Christ. And when we do that, our lives can be beneficial to God. Around this old-fashioned altar is a place for God's people to come to Him. Around this old-fashioned altar is a place where you can come if you do not know Him. But this morning you feel like you believe that He is willing to forgive. And He's willing to restore. You come as we do an invitation. Let us pray. Father, we love You. We're thankful for all that You have done for us. I pray You'd take this message today, as sporadic as it's been, carry it to the hearts of the people. Lord, we are thankful that You are a God of restoration. We're thankful that, Lord, that You have called us to life in Jesus Christ. And many of us, Lord, all of us fall short of the glory of God. But sometimes even staying in the Father's house, we can find ourselves like this other son, at odds with the Father. I pray that You'd work in hearts just now. And that work that only You can do, that perfect work, that eternal work, that You would do as You see fit. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.